fight.
Back. Miss Amy is back with an all-new Living Way Out Here on the Survival Circle Network. Join Amy for an uplifting hour of fun on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday evenings at 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Survival Circle.
Like to brag, but we're kind of proud of that ragged old flag.
You see, we got a little hole in that flag there when Washington took it across.
Does this country remind you of the America that you grew up in? Do your children enjoy the same freedoms that you did when you were young?
Well, you think that you can take me on? You must be crazy. There ain't a single thing you've done that's gonna faze me.
Just how far are you willing to be pushed? When are we gonna put our collective foot down and tell the tyrant, get off of my back? Hi, I'm Cope Reynolds, and if you're tired of the same old sugar-coated mush-mouth monologue of talk radio, join me for The Shooting Bench, Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, 10 to midnight Central. Guns, self-defense, survival, current events are just a few of the topics that we'll discuss on The Shooting Bench, and we're going to start discussing them right now.
Have you forgotten?
Papa Top again. I've just got time for one more round. Set 'em up, my friend. Then I'll be gone and you can let some other fool sit down. I'd like for you to listen to a joke I heard today. From a woman who said she was through and calmly walked away. I tried to smile and did a while, but it fell so out of place. Did you ever hear of a clown with teardrops streaming down his face? Papa Top again.
Well, I had to play a little bit of Jim Ed Brown. He died, I believe it was Sunday, and a great artist. He's got a ton of songs, and I like pretty much every one of them. He's been around a long, long time since I was a kid. He did a lot of stuff with Helen Cornelius and great country singer. He will certainly be missed. Welcome to the Shooting Bench. It's the 16th of June. And it's a Tuesday. I'm sorry we had technical difficulties beyond our control last night and we weren't able to get on. So we utilized our time a little bit to get ready for the expo. And I hope that some of you are going to make it. Certainly all of our folks from Washington will be there. And we've got at least one from... No, I guess he's in Washington too, as a matter of fact. I was thinking, no, maybe he's in Oregon. Anyway, we've got a lot of listeners going to be there. It's going to be a great event. It is, for those of you that are going to make it and haven't been keeping up with everything, there will be a lot of guns there that are being transferred back and forth in private sales and barter and trade and whatever. And we want to make sure that everybody knows that each and every gun that you trade or buy there will be in direct violation of I-594. So don't think it's all just fun and games. It'll be just understand what you're getting into when you get there. But there'll be a lot of people doing it. I am anxious to get up there, and I'm going to drive 1,400 miles for the opportunity to do this. So I would think that some of you might be able to, you know, get 200 or 300 if you live within there. It's going to be a lot of fun. A lot of good speakers. It's going to be a huge gun show. I think there's, besides for the other stuff that's going on, there's probably, I'm guessing there's something like 30 vendors in there now. There was 20 last time I checked, but that was some time ago. Maybe B2 Basic or Tampico Scout can chime in there and let me know how many there actually is now. But I'm going to be one of them, and it's going to be a heck of a lot of fun. So let's move on here. Hopefully somebody will pop in there in a minute and let me know about how many vendors is in there now. Really looking forward to this. Got quite a mixture of things tonight, and most of them are going to tick you off. This one right here should. A guy in Tennessee, a pastor, actually had a stroke last summer. So his wife had a wheelchair ramp installed in the front of the house so he could get to the front door. Really nice, it's not just plywood and two-by-fours. It's a really nice-looking ramp. And it fits with the house and everything. There is no reason in the world that anybody should have a problem with this. But the homeowners association didn't approve it, so they sent a letter to the lady and said the association demands that within 14 days of the date of this letter, you remove the wheelchair ramp and restore the exterior of your home. If it didn't happen in 14 days, then the homeowners association threatened to sue her and tear down the ramp at her expense. And I guess the local news got involved with it, and the homeowner association then offered to reach a compromise. So they responded by sending a letter that said, "The governing documents for this community require that all exterior improvements receive prior approval. A letter was sent to the owner regarding the ramp as no application for approval had been received. The board did not know the ramp was for the homeowner." Who do you think it would be for, you freaking moron? You think you just built the ramp? What did you build the ramp for? The board did not know the ramp was for the homeowner. Jeez. The association would like to work with the owners on a compromise regarding the appearance and location of this ramp and compliance with any applicable codes. We didn't know it was for the owner. No, I just built this for the guy over in the next town, and I didn't want to drive all the way over to do it, so I thought I'd build it in front of my house. Jeez. I'm going to put a picture of this in the chat room. I want you to look at it. This is a damn fine-looking wheelchair ramp here. And there's not a thing in the world wrong with it. I don't see why the... There you go. Take a look at that. Okay. Let's see. Mountain Shooter, I think you're looking for a Model 27. Aren't you? The 357 Magnum is a 27 and 28. I've never heard of a Model 37, but maybe I'm missing something here. All right. Let's move on. Hopefully we got sound here. Hold on. Yeah, Minnie, that's what I thought. Violating the Americans with Disabilities Act. I don't get it. And look at that wheelchair ramp. What's wrong with that? I think it looks real nice. Sit back in there in the corner and ain't nothing in the world wrong with that. And wouldn't it have just made sense to say, oh, yeah, this guy's had a stroke, needs a wheelchair, needs a way to get into the house, so we just, we're not going to bother her too much right now. She's got enough going on in her life. We're just going to kind of overlook that. Okay, well, here's another one. There's an 11-year-old boy got home from school. His folks got held up in traffic and didn't get there quite on time. They were an hour or so late. So he amused himself in his yard playing basketball and going on in his own yard just waiting. Well, the neighbor, some nosy anal orifice neighbor, He just played basketball in the yard by himself while he was waiting. And this neighbor saw him and called the cops. And when the parents arrived, having been delayed by traffic and rain and everything else, they were arrested for negligence. Put in handcuffs, strip searched, fingerprinted, and held overnight in jail. It was a month before they saw their two boys again, 11-year-old and then a 4-year-old brother. And the 4-year-old was with them. It was a month before boys were allowed to go home again. And it was only then, after the 11-year-old begged the judge to give him back to his parents, and that's when things started to improve a little bit. But the mother said that the older boy was the victim, so to speak. But since she and her husband were charged with felony neglect, the younger boy had to be removed from the home, too. Here's what the law says. A person who willfully or by culpable negligence neglects a child without causing great bodily harm, permanent disability, or permanent disfigurement to the child commits a felony of the third degree. The authorities say the boy didn't have any access to water or shelter. You know, I'm betting there was a hose bib on the outside of that house somewhere. She said we have an open shed in the backyard, two working sinks and two hoses. He said he had no food. He ate his snacks already. He had no bathroom, but the responding officer found our yard good enough to relieve himself in while our son sat in the police car alone in his own yard in a state, Florida, that has no minimum age for children to be alone. Kids were placed in foster care for 2 days while the state ran a background check on a relative who was willing to take them in. Our first choice was my mother, is what the mother of the boy said. But she lives in another state, so the kids would have been in foster care even longer until they cleared her. Parents decided to have them placed with a slightly problematic in-state relative instead. On the day they all appeared in children's court to move the kids from foster care into a relative's custody, Cindy, the boy's mother, thought her older son smelled a little strange. So what are you eating? Cereal. Only cereal for the past few days. That's not going to kill anyone, obviously, but if you're arresting parents for not supervising their kids for 90 minutes, you'd think that that's a little hypocritical. Well, they were charged with a felony, couldn't cross the county line to go see them, and the relative refused to bring them to visit. But after a few weeks, she got tired of taking the kids. Unbeknownst to us, she was putting them back in state custody. That's when CPS asked the court to place the boys in foster care. All this because they let the boy in the play in the yard for an hour or so until they got home. 11 years old. Now, I can see if we left the 3-year old sitting on there, the 4-year old boy they have, sitting on the back porch, not knowing where to go or what to do or who to call or how to get anywhere or what to eat. Couldn't play basketball, didn't know how to operate the hose bib. That's a little bit different. But an 11-year-old, perfectly satisfied with playing basketball for a little while, I really don't see a problem with that. Anyway, the lawyer asked the boy, did he have the courage to go through with this, and would he tell the truth? The boy said, yeah. He went back there and spoke to the judge for about 10 minutes, and the judge came out and called the two lawyers to the bench and talked to them for 10 or 15 minutes. And with that, the lawyer came back to us and said, if we admitted that we didn't know that it was wrong to let our son stay in the backyard, but that we now know that it was wrong, and we'll never let it happen again, and that we'll explain to our son that he would let the children come with us. Well, they promised they would, and the judge released the kids and closed the case, but that's not where it ends. That was civil court. Now, the parents, Cindy and Fred, will have to head to criminal court to plead not guilty to the neglect charge. Naturally, they hope the whole thing will be dropped, but whether it will or not, yet to be seen, I guess. In the meantime, to comply with all the CPS dictates, Cindy and Fred are attending parenting classes. They're also going to therapy. And the kids are attending play therapy. This summer, as part of the deal, the older boy has to attend day camp. The younger has to attend daycare. The reason, they think, is that years ago there was a girl who disappeared while in foster care, and it turned out that no one had been keeping track of her whereabouts. If the kids attend day camp or daycare, their whereabouts will always be accounted for. I ask kids spent the summer, we did a little project, we go to the beach, blah blah blah. So there you go, all of that because an 11-year-old boy was my, how things have changed. Unbelievable. You know, I don't know what I don't know if it's the non-spanking crowd or just the retards or the drugs, or I don't know what in the world is going on here. You know, hell, when I was a kid, was 9, 10, 11, 12 years old, man, we'd go off by ourselves and be gone for hours all day. I mean, I don't even get this. I don't understand. Not a fan of that story. It really ticks me off. Well, there, are you leaving me?
I am.
Okay.
Would you help me check that silver?
No. Ooh, it's probably rich. All righty. Let's get on with it here. Let's this is a pretty interesting story, and it brings to mind something that we've talked about here many times. This is a gal in Detroit that she was actually shot in the leg while she was doing this. But this woman, this cancer survivor, this woman all by herself, without any help, alone, fought off four male home invaders, burglars. Yep. She said she woke up early one morning and one of the burglars broke through her bed, climbed into her home. Said she raised her hands as the guy approached her with the gun. She's thinking to herself, fast and quick, how am I going to get to my gun? Okay, let's pause right there a minute. She is one of them. Now, thank the Lord, she came out on top here. But well, I'm preaching to the choir. We talk about wearing your gun all the time. All the time, all the time. That means all the time, all the time. Like all the time. If you're not asleep or in the shower, you should be wearing it. And if you are asleep or in the shower, it should be just arm's length away. We can make exceptions to that, to the shower thing, when there are other armed individuals in the home. But when you're sleeping, it needs to be right there. So, anyway, she said, now I done finally touched the barrel of my gun and I just went to shooting. Said she wasn't sure if she hit any of them or not. But she said, unfortunately, this wasn't the first time she'd been broke in. She was, while she was fighting cancer 3 years ago, her home was completely ransacked. Said they took everything except the furniture. And as a result of that, she bought a gun to protect herself. So, and it looks like it worked. Good story. I like that one. Well, bad news for gun owners here, especially in Michigan. Now, I don't know that this is going to, how this is going to play out, if it goes any farther than that, or even if it don't. I think the NRA is probably going to get involved in this. But the federal court says that police, the U.S. District Court of Michigan, ruled that cops have the authority to stop an individual if the person is open carrying a firearm. And to do so is not a violation of their constitutional rights. Well, what's happening here, and, you know, this is one of those things where you have to either accept being the possibility of being arrested, roughed up, detained, you know, maybe even killed, as we're learning here from so many other events here, just for carrying your gun openly. Sometimes discretion is the better part of valor. Sometimes being concealed, like it or not, sometimes it's the way to go. You know, there was a lot of times certain places in Albuquerque that I would go when I lived in New Mexico. I thought it was smarter, because I didn't have the time and didn't want to mess with the possibility of being harassed by APD. So it just seemed prudent that I go concealed. And I don't carry openly to make a political statement. I carry openly because it's convenient and handy for me, and that's what I like to do. And I don't like to walk around with my shirt untucked. I don't want to have to wear a vest or a coat. I don't want to wear a tuckable holster. I want to wear my damn gun on the outside, and want people to leave me to hell alone is what I want. But sometimes, if they refuse to leave you alone and you have other things you got to do besides being in jail, then it might be a good idea for you to carry concealed. You know, Eddie, that, you know, you're right in a way. You're glad you don't have kids being, yeah. If that happened to one of my kids, good grief, I don't have any idea what I'd do about that. And for a long, long time, I didn't have kids. Started way late because I just thought, man, who in the world, why would you want to bring kids up in this world? And then I thought, well, you know, if we don't, who's going to? What's going to happen to the nation? What's going to happen? Well, we see what's happening already. There's not near enough of us that are raising good, patriot, hard-working kids with values out there and respect and whatnot. We've got a bunch of little dorks running around with the crack of their butt showing and their hat turned sideways that can't even add two and two. And, you know, we're losing ground rapidly. But anyway, I did think for a long time there was no way that I was going to have kids, and then I decided that was, you know, that was probably the best thing to do. If there's going to be any good kids in this world, I might as well might as well contribute to it. So let's see, let me check Glock Long Slide there. Let's see, yeah, Long Slide just joined us. G41 as compared to G7. So Kilogram, boy, long time no see, buddy. Welcome back. Hope everything's going all right for you. All right, let's take a little break here, and then we'll continue on with this here. Let's see, how about let's do this.
You have a weapon?
Yeah, a big one. How about you?
You sure you want to get cute with me? You have a backup weapon?
Never had the need.
Get one. Keep that in your suit unless I tell you to take it out.
Get yourself a Glock. Lose that nickel-plated sissy pistol.
Enemy is approaching fast. Requesting orders. General, what should we do?
There's no response from command. Or from party leader Creedy. Or from the High Chancellor.
Why are you doing this?
Because he was right.
About what?
That this country needs more than a building right now. Needs hope.
Those who make peaceful revolution impossible will make violent revolution inevitable. Inevitable. Inevitable.
People should not be afraid of their governments. Governments should be afraid of their people.
Is it common sense to allow your activist judges to ignore your history, your culture, your Declaration of Independence, and every other founding document to remove God from public life? And endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights, their creator, not the ACLU, not the will of the atheist, or the anti-Americans that sit on the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals in San Francisco. Separation of church and state, yes. Separation of God from public life, never intended by your founding fathers. Is it common sense that the very political party who claims to be the party of the people and shouts, "We will bring change," consistently stops all common sense legislation to secure your borders, establish workplace verification, and stop taxpayer money for illegals? They call themselves progressive global thinkers. We had another word for them in 1776. We call them traitors. This happened all once before. 232 years ago, it led to revolution and thousands of dead in the streets. It will happen again unless you take back America now.
I hope we have once again reminded people that man is not free unless government is limited. There's a clear cause and effect here that is as neat and predictable as a law of physics. As government expands, liberty contracts.
From my cold, dead hands.
Only an aroused citizenry will turn this uncommon sense around. And he or she who does nothing now is helping them to destroy America. My name is Thomas Paine, and I approve of this message. I only hope to God you will too.
Colonized America, we will stand for tyranny. Oh, he. And it's too late to apologize. It's too late. I said it's too late to apologize. It's too late.
I don't like to brag, but we're kind of proud of that ragged old flag.
You see, we got a little hole in that flag there. Washington.
Does this country remind you of the America that you grew up in? Do your children enjoy the same freedoms that you did when you were young?
Do you think that you can take me on? You must be crazy. There ain't a single thing you've done that's gonna faze me.
just how far are you willing to be pushed? When are we going to put our collective foot down and tell the tyrant, get off of my back? Hi, I'm Cope Reynolds, and if you're tired of the same old sugar-coated mush-mouth monologue of talk radio, join me for The Shooting Bench, Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, 10 to midnight Central. Guns, self-defense, survival, current events are just a few of the topics that we'll discuss on The Shooting Bench, and we're going to start discussing them right now.
Have you forgotten?
Well, nothing like playing an intro in the middle of the show. I don't know how that happened, but I decided not to break into it. We just let it go. I guess worse things have happened here. We experienced a little bit of right in the middle of that. We had some internet problems, and I was just going to continue on and do the show and just hope that the archive came out well. But apparently it's come back now, so hopefully everything is going to be all right. We, what was it, 2 weeks ago or so that we did a show on how many negligent discharges that cops have had? Well, Los Angeles Sheriff's Department, they're having a tough time. They really need to attend a class at Southwest Shooting Authority, I think, as they make this transition from their Beretta 92s to Smith & Wesson M&Ps. They have more than doubled their negligent discharges. That means that they were having a lot of trigger finger issues with the Berettas, and it got a lot worse when they got something with a decent trigger. They went from 12 in 2012 to 30 last year. 12 to 30. They said it's because deputies are adjusting to the new gun. No, it's not. It's because they're not being trained properly. They said they expect the numbers to fall in the years ahead. So far this year, the department has recorded 7 accidental discharges, read negligent discharges, 5 of which involve the new weapon. But they say that as more deputies switch over to this, they're going to the Smith & Wesson M&P 9, that they have imposed some extra training requirements. Well, that's exactly the right response. Of course, they should have done that before they went to this gun. Maybe they wouldn't have had the problems if they'd have done that to start with. But said the M&P has obvious benefits. It's easier to shoot accurately, can be fired more reliably under stress, and it's not the gun, guys. It's just not the gun. It's the person. It's the trigger finger, and it's always going to be. It's not ever going to be the gun. Unless there is a mechanical malfunction of some kind, it's not ever going to be the gun. It's always going to be the guy behind the trigger there. So, anyway, just thought I'd throw that out there to you. Wait a minute, there's a little bit more here. A theory that works well in training, let's see, with striker-fired guns, officers train to keep their fingers straight along the frame of the pistol until the last possible second. A theory that works well in training, but which has failed time and again under stress. As I don't know about that. Maybe for you guys. As the Los Angeles Sheriff's Department and other departments nationwide have noted, and yet claiming that an officer experiencing a negligent discharge should have had more training only comes up after the negligent discharge. Yep. They've deemed to have had enough training until they prove otherwise, which seems intellectually dishonest. It's about the same thing as saying someone is competent in navigating minefields until they take that one wrong step. Well, there you have it anyway. So, those guys are doing it negligently and learning the hard way. Here's a guy in Colorado that decided to do it on purpose. He said he was just curious to see what being shot felt like, so he shot himself in the foot. So I wonder what this feels like. Let's just, boom! Oh, damn, that hurts. Denver Post said Adam Hurdle, 30 years old, told a Colorado Springs officer that he purposely shot himself in the foot while inside his garage. Police told Fox News that he used a .22 caliber semi-automatic handgun. The paper said initial reports indicated that the shooting was accidental. Said he's expected to recover, now facing charges of reckless endangerment and prohibited use of weapons. You know, I'm gonna think possibly that that may have not have been done on purpose. I don't know. I don't have any idea. But I'm thinking that he said, "Well, I did that on purpose. I wanted to see what it felt like. I know it wasn't very smart, but I'm thinking he probably just shot himself in the foot by accident, messing around with that gun. I mean, it happens so regularly." That I just find it hard to believe the guy had to stand in the garage and shoot himself in the foot. But I guess stranger things have happened. Yeah, come on, Glock, you're absolutely right. The M&P right out of the box, the M&P and the XD both ergonomically are better than the Glock. Yep, I can't argue with that any. But yes, sir, Glock can be fixed. Sure can. They can be made to be very nice. Arms Expo's coming up here. I'll be heading out, I don't know, probably sometime late tomorrow. Now, here's going to be the schedule. I am going to make every effort to do a show tomorrow night. Let's see, tomorrow, Wednesday, Amy's never on. My normal time on Wednesdays is 8:30, so that'll give me another half hour. I should be able to find a place. I'm just pull over a little bit early, maybe, and do the show. If I have to stop, you know, 2 hours early till the next big town or whatever, then I probably won't. But I intend to do the show. Thursday night, Amy and I both will do the show, okay? And I may be there by then. I'm really not looking to be there until Friday morning. We'll see what happens. But we plan to both do our shows on Thursdays. And that will probably be the last... Well, Friday, I'm guessing, if depending on what our schedule looks like at the expo, I'm guessing that maybe B2Basic and Tampico Scout, if we're not tied up at the expo, might want to get involved with Liberty Lounge. If we're busy, we're not going to do it. I'll make sure that either myself or the Tinker puts on an oldie but a goodie Liberty Lounge for you. And we'll make sure that Amy has archives on during the appropriate time also. And I'm just not going to try to take care of all of my responsibilities and everything we're supposed to do through the week. So for the next week, you can consider Amy and I on vacation. If I'm able to pull one off, I'll let everybody know on Facebook and on the chat room. And I doubt that we're going to. We're going to have a lot of stuff going on. But if that changes, I will let you know as soon as I can. And Monday the 29th, neither of us will be doing a show. I'll be driving late, and I want to get back here plenty early Tuesday, so there will be a show Tuesday. Both of us, barring any breakdowns or whatever. That's going to be the schedule. I will type that up and put it in the chat room, and I will also put it in Facebook so everybody knows what's going on there. Okay, now with all that being said, I think I'm going to knock off just a little bit early. I want to try to get ready to go. I have some things that have to be done tomorrow before I leave. And so I'm probably not going to get out of here till a whole lot later than I wanted to. But we'll be going the shortest, straightest possible way right up through Salt Lake City. So right's at risk. I think I'm going to miss you this time. Not going to be coming up that way. We're going to go a little bit shorter route. So anyway, I'm going to call it a day and get ready. Hopefully, yeah, Bright Angel, you guys better hang in there for us. Now, there'll be, I'm going to try to do a show tomorrow. Amy will not. I will definitely do one Thursday night, wherever I am, on the road or whatever. Thursday night we'll do one. Friday is still up in the air. So I will let everybody know. All right, I'm going to get out of here a little bit early. I'm sorry about that, but duty calls. We've got a lot of things going on. So I'll see you when I see you. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us for another edition of The Shooting Bench. Please join Cope Monday through Friday for the most politically incorrect firearms information show on talk radio.
Lead, follow, or get the hell out of the way. Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for you to decide who you are. Somebody should call them. Somebody should write a letter. Somebody should try and stop that. Somebody should do something. I challenge you to look in the mirror and tell me what you see. If there's somebody there, that would be you. It's time for you to do something. There is no doubt that the Constitution is hanging by a thread. It's not going to wait for us much longer.